Okay, I'm going to start in, actually, we're in 1 Timothy 2, but I'm going to start in Psalm 49, which you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote the verses that I'm going to refer to. It says this. This is Psalm 49, verses 7, 8, and 9. It says, "Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit." So it's saying no man can pay your ransom. No man. No man can buy your way out of hell, out of the pit. It's too expensive. It's too costly, the scripture says. And no man can even pay his own way to God, much less yours. That's a biblical truth. Other people cannot pay for your sin. That's Psalm 49. Now, here's another biblical truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 say there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given in its proper time. So we have no man can pay your ransom. And now we have the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. At the same, we got both of those truths in Scripture. So we're going to talk about that today. And we're going to stick in these two verses. Now, last week we talked about verse 5, "For there is one God." We just talked about the one God part of that verse, that Christians believe in only one God. We do not believe in three gods. Today we're going to talk about the one mediator part of that verse. So there's one God, and that is a clear statement of the oneness of the Trinity that we believe in. That means there's one being who's ultimate. There's one being we must serve. There's one being that we worship. There's one ultimate destination for your soul. One. But how do we get to that one God? Verse 5. There is one mediator between God and man. One mediator means one way. There's only one way to God. Now, a mediator, I don't know if you all know what a mediator is. I know our lawyer does. But a mediator is a person who stands in between two people in a dispute. So I was actually reading this morning in the news, and there is a mediator who is trying to mediate between Hamas and Israel. They have a dispute. There's a fight going on, and they need to resolve it. And there's a mediator in between the two trying to bring peace between them. That's what a mediator does. Okay, now apply that to you and God. It's kind of like you are one of those parties. You're Hamas or Israel, and God is, you know, we won't go there. But there is a dispute between you and God. And there needs to be a mediator between you. A mediator means something is wrong. You don't have mediation unless something is wrong. If everybody is getting along fine, we do not need a mediator. And so to mediate between God and man means something is wrong with man, because you know nothing's wrong with God. Means the problem's down here with us. And so we need a mediator because we're messed up. That's why we need a mediator. It means God has an issue with us. It means we're in trouble with God. Just the fact that you even have a mediator means you're in trouble with God. And Scripture says we are. You know, Wednesday, that Tony gave us those verses to memorize. You know, Romans 3. So as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, at Romans 3:23. Or Isaiah 59, verse 2, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he cannot hear you. Scripture says our problem is our sin. That's our problem. That's the issue between God and us. It separates us from God. That's what Isaiah said in chapter 59. For your iniquities have separated you from your God. Our sin destroys our relationship with God. God made us to enjoy him. But we would rather have good food. Yeah. God made us for him, but we would rather live for our job. God made us for the truth, but we compromise the truth to have our comfort. God made us for purity, but we compromise purity for our pleasure. He made us for righteousness, but righteousness is often inconvenient. So we ignore God and we give our life to the pursuit of pleasure or comfort or money or to make a name for ourselves or, you know, lots of different things that we pursue instead of pursuing God. We were made for God and we don't go for what we were made for. And here's the thing, we think nothing of it. We don't think it's a big deal. We just think it's living life. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. We were made for glory. We live for dirt. And we pat ourselves on the backs with how good we are. That's the human race. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem because when we live that way, we actually destroy the very purpose for which we were made. And we convince ourselves we're just fine. That's what we do. We ruin our lives, the lives that God made, by pursuing self. And we think nothing wrong with it. We owe God an immense debt by defiling our own souls. He made our souls. And we defile them. We owe him a debt by defiling ourselves. And we have no clue the debt we owe. Here in America, anyway, we think we are the masters of our own lives anyway. God's not the master of my life. I am. I control my life. Who are you to tell me what to do with my life? This is how Americans think. Who are you? Are you God? Well, God is God. And he did make you for a purpose, and you have ignored it. And so we owe him this debt. Thus, we need a mediator between us and God. But we think we need no mediator at all. That we're okay. Now, we need a mediator because we sin. That's why we need a mediator. And this scripture says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So one mediator, that's it, one mediator. One mediator means you cannot mediate for yourself. You can't stand before God on your own behalf and somehow make things right. One mediator means you cannot trust your good works to make things right. They're not going to mediate for you. You're not going to go and, oh, I'm just going to go and give a lot of money to the poor and, you know, be a good boy or be a good girl and everything will be just fine between me and God. No. No, I'm not against giving to the poor, by the way. You should do that. It's just that that is not going to pay for your sins. Your good works do not and cannot ever make up for your sin. Your good works do not and cannot ever pay for your sin. It's kind of like this. Imagine you're driving and you come through a school zone and you didn't know that the speed limit went down at between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and you're going the regular speed limit of 40 miles an hour, but the speed limit now is 20 miles an hour. And the next thing you know, there are police lights behind you and he pulls you over. And, okay, you broke the law. And suppose you say to him, but officer, I'm a really good driver most of the time. And maybe it's right. Maybe you are the best driver there is. And he writes you a ticket anyway. And you have to now pay a fine for speeding. Is that fine just?
Yes.
It is just. You deserve it, don't you? Okay, all the good driving that you do all the rest of the time in your life, does it pay for that one time that you messed up? No, not at all. That's how it is with God. Your good works cannot make up for your sin. You owe for your sin, and that's the way it is. And there is no compromise on that. You owe for your sin. And you can be the best boy or best girl there was the rest of your life, and that's fine for the rest of your life, but it doesn't make up for your sin. Any more than your good driving can make up for the time you sped. There's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the verse says. So it identifies who our mediator is. It's Jesus. He's our mediator between God and men. The fact that Jesus and only Jesus, see, there's only one. It's Jesus. There aren't two or four, or it's not Jesus and, it's Jesus, period. Jesus is your mediator. The fact that Jesus and only Jesus is your mediator means that Buddha can't do a thing about your sin. Muhammad can't do anything about your sin. Moses can't do anything about your sin. I can't help you. Your family can't help you. Even if you have a rich family, they can't buy you out. You're not going to buy out God. Like, you can do that. Down here, you can buy your way out of trouble, right? Because we live in a corrupt world. God's not corrupt. He doesn't care about how much money you've got or how much whatever you've got. It means it's Jesus or no one. That's what one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, means. Your hope is in Jesus. He's your hope. In fact, he's the only hope you have. There is no other hope besides Jesus. Now, why Jesus? That's what I want to talk about. Why can't some other religious leader help you? The reason no one else can help you is this. Psalm 49, verses 7. No man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. It's too costly. No ordinary man can pay for your sin. No ordinary man can represent you before God. All men must pay for their own sin. But Jesus is different. And here's how he's different. First, he had no sin to pay for. He lived a sinless life. But he died. And the wages of sin is death. And so here's Jesus dying, which is the wages of sin. But he has no sin to pay for. In other words, Jesus paid for sin, but it wasn't his. Paul puts it this way. This is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He says, "For our sake, God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might have the righteousness of God. In 1 Timothy, he puts it this way. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given in its proper time." Jesus himself put it this way. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." In other words, what Paul is saying here, Jesus said himself. It's not something Paul invented out of the air. He got it from Jesus. The idea that Jesus is a ransom for all came from Jesus. And so here's the truth. Jesus came to earth to die for you and for me. That's why he came. His death is your life. That's 2 Corinthians. That's that idea. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might know the righteousness of God. His death mediates your sin before God. That's what his death does. His death pays for your sin. That's kind of how Christians talk all the time. His death is your ransom. Ransom's a payment. It's your payment. His death is your hope. And Jesus is the only one who can mediate because he's the only one who has actually paid your ransom. Jesus can mediate on behalf of men because he was a man. That's what the verse says. One mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus was a man. The fact that Jesus was fully human is actually essential. He died as a man. If he was God only and not a man, he would not have died. He could not die. And he could not thus pay for sin, because that's the penalty for sin. But he was a man, and thus he died as a man. And he can thus represent you and me, because he was one of us. He can represent us before God. But verse 6 says, he gave himself a ransom for all. That means Jesus paid for your sins and mine. He paid for the sins of your parents. He paid for the sins of your brother or your sister. He paid for the sins of your children and your grandchildren. He paid for the sins of your neighbors and your coworkers. He paid for the sins of Abraham and Moses. He paid for the sins of Caesar and Cyrus. He paid for the sins of Shakespeare. He paid for the sins of Taylor Swift and Ronaldo. He paid for the, just name someone, he paid for the sins of all. He paid for the sins of those who accept his ransom. He paid for the sins of those who don't. But since they don't accept, those who don't accept don't apply. It doesn't get applied to them unless you take it. They'll have to pay for their own sins. His death was a ransom for all. That means Jews and Gentiles. That means Persians and Arabs. All. That means black and white. That means old and young, rich and poor, all. He paid for the sins of all. He gave his life as a ransom for all. It doesn't matter all the different social divisions we have here. He doesn't see those. He just paid for your sins. His death was a ransom for your sins and for your soul. It was a ransom for all. This is the gospel. I mean, really, I'm just giving a very simple gospel. This is a very simple gospel message today. Now, the reason Jesus' death can be a ransom for all, when no man can give his life as a ransom for another man, that's Psalm 49, is that though he was fully man, he's also fully God. See, in Jesus, God came to earth. God visited earth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Scripture says. And the Word was God. And so what this means is the death he died as a man and the ransom he paid in his death has infinite and eternal consequences. Because though he's fully man, he's not just man. There's more there to him. If Jesus was merely a normal man and nothing more, he could not pay your ransom. Because no man can do that. But he's not merely a man. He's fully man, but not merely man, if I could put it that way. And so, he's fully a man, but he's also fully God. And his ransom is infinite. So what's this mean for you and me? It means that your salvation depends on Jesus. He is the only mediator between you and God. The fact that Jesus paid your ransom should give you confidence before God, because your salvation doesn't depend on how good you are. You don't have to be perfect. It depends on what he did. It's kind of like this. There was a man. He owed a debt of $1 trillion. He couldn't pay it. So he decided, I'm going to work it off. But he's not going to be able to work off a debt like that. But he insists, I'm going to work it off and pay off my debt. Along comes someone who loves him and has the resources and says, I'll pay your debt. But the man doesn't believe him, and he continues to work to pay off his debt. He will never, first of all, he will never pay off that debt. Secondly, he will never have confidence or peace before God because he knows that he can never pay off that debt. It's not possible. He will never have confidence because he'll never, did I do enough? Have I worked enough? But if he had trusted his neighbor and had received a receipt of payment in full, he could have peace. This is how we are before God. Jesus has paid in full your debt, and God gives you a receipt, so to speak, and you can have peace because you know you're right before God. Why? Not because of you. In fact, if it's because of you, you'll never know. But because of Christ and his righteousness, then you can know. Your salvation is paid for. You can have peace. You don't have to worry about, did I do enough? Because Jesus is the one who did enough. You could never do enough. But Jesus is always enough. Secondly, because only one man can help you before God, and there is only one mediator, the world needs to know this. They need to know that there is only one mediator. There's only one way for them to get to God. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. That means all need to know him. All those different groups I told you about earlier, some of them were, you know, groups of people you know, family members, whatever, workers, co-workers. Some of them are racial groups or national groups or whatever. They all need to know Jesus. Now, the message I've given you today, I shared with you, is just the simple gospel. It's part of the simple gospel. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That's how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, which we covered a couple weeks ago. We covered the resurrection part of that because it was Easter Sunday. But that's how he begins his gospel presentation. And this message is something Jesus wanted us to remember often. That he died for our sins, that he gave his life as a ransom for us. His death is glorious, his death is powerful. And when he was here, he gave his disciples a practice to remember his death. We call it communion today, and we're going to celebrate that now to remember the death of our Lord. We're going to celebrate communion. Now, communion is for believers. So if you're a believer, join us in celebrating communion. We've been saying Jesus gave himself as a ransom for you and for me. And what I want to do is give us all a moment, just take a minute or so. I want you to meditate on the ransom Jesus has paid for you, and give thanks for it.